إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. طيب، إن شاء الله تعالى نواصل هذه الدروس المباركة قراءة من كتاب عقيدة التوحيد لفضيلة الشيخ العلامة صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. So we continue the reading from this book, The Creed of Al-Tawheed, by His Eminent Shaykh, Shaykh صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى. فما زلنا في الفصل الأول من بيان ما يجب اعتقاده في الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهل بيته وصحابته. Another chapter. Another chapter that we started last week, which is to know that which is incumbent upon every one of us to know as related to believing in the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, his message, knowing him and the like of this, and his family members and his companions. And before I continue, I'm just going to like bring some points, the main points that we mentioned and we dealt with last class. We mentioned وجوب محبته وتعظيمه, that is incumbent upon us to love him and to revere him. Love for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and revering him, that's incumbency upon us, is an obligation. But we mentioned that first of all, a servant should love Allah. عَلَى الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يُحِبَّ اللَّهَ أَوَّلًا. It is incumbent upon the servant to love Allah first, before the love for Allah should come before anything else. Even the love for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم should not come before the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, because we mentioned that also Shaykh Fawzan said مَحَبَّةُ الرَّسُولِ تَابِعَ لِمَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The love for the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is actually should take place after a person love Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. وقد ورد أنه يجب على المؤمن أن يكون الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب إليه من نفسه كما في حديث عمر. And also we mentioned the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab رضي الله عنه that shows and illustrates clearly that it is incumbent upon the believer to love the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم more than anything else, even his own self. After loving Allah, then the love for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم come in the second place, and this love for the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم should come before any other love, even for a person, he should, the person, even for a person loving his own self. وأن محبة الرسول واجبة ومقدمة على محبة كل شيء سوى محبة الله. So therefore, loving the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم should come before anything else, before the wealth, the wife, the children, the parents, even a person on self. The only thing that comes before it is the love for Allah سبحانه وتعالى. وذكرنا كذلك أن محبته صلى الله عليه وسلم تقتضي تعظيمه وتوقيره واتباعه وتقديم قوله على قول كل أحد من الخلق وتعظيم سنته. Likewise, we mentioned that loving the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم means, it's not just a statement by the tongue, I love the Messenger of Allah. لا. Loving the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is justified through revering him and giving him the respect that is due to him, following him, and putting his statements and his utterances over the statements of anybody else. Doesn't matter who he may be. That the statements and of the Prophet ﷺ has to be before any of the creation statements. And that his sunnah should be revealed as well and glorified. His sunnah should be revealed and glorified. And also another point, that النهي عن الغلو والإطراء في مدحه. So with the law for the Messenger of Allah, so we have to be careful. We have to stay in the middle course. And we have to be careful not to exaggerate and to be excessive into loving the Messenger of Allah or ascribing to him certain things that it is not permissible for us to ascribe. And I see the brothers having the creed, the explanation of the creed, that's for on Jumu'ah, that's on Friday. See, some brothers have the creed, that's Friday class. Today is not that. Alright? I don't want you to be confused. The creed, the explanation of the creed, those blue books, that's on Friday. Today is Friday? It may be in China, but in America, we're sure it's Tuesday today, right? Alright. Even in China, it's not even Friday. It may be what? Wednesday, right? Wednesday already? MashaAllah. So, we mentioned that we should not go overbound and step beyond the limits that Allah has set for us in loving the Messenger of Allah or attributing some names or the like of him and some compliments and the like. And that the Prophet himself, he disliked that he should be praised or mentioned or called by certain names. And we mentioned, فَقَدْ كَانَ يَكْرَهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَمْدَحُوهُ بِأَلْفَاظِ مِثْلِ أَنْتَ سَيِّدُنَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُنَا أَنْتَ أَفْضَلُنَا أَنْتَ أَعْظَمُنَا. The Prophet ﷺ, he used to dislike when someone addressed him by such expressions, the like of, you're the best amongst us, you're the best of all of us, you're the greatest of all, and the like of this. Even though, مع أنه أفضل الخلق, مع أنه هذا حق, مع أنه أفضل الخلق وأشرفهم على الإطلاق, لكنه نهاهم على ذلك. Even though the Prophet ﷺ is the best of all the creation, this is the truth. Yet he used to forbade them from saying to him, you are the best and the like of this. Yet he is indeed the best of all the creation, period. The most noble of all of them. But he used to forbade them from doing that for one reason. What is it? Now this is the question. Huh? كي لا يقعوا في الغلو والإطراء. Okay, the answer in English. Why the Prophet, even though the Prophet ﷺ, he's the best of the creation, no doubt. Why he used to dislike that he would be called like that? Why? We mentioned the reason why. Ahsan, Allah barak fi. That because out of fear that his ummah may go overboard, and they may fall into the same thing that the Christians fall into by exaggerating in Isa alayhi salam. And also وَكَذَلِكَ حِمَايَةً لِلتَّوْحِيدِ, and also to preserve Tawheed. And now you know, as we mentioned last class, some Muslims already worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, directly or indirectly. Some Muslims, they call upon Muhammad instead to call upon Allah, right or wrong? Some Muslims, you see them making Hajj. If you ask them, you're making Hajj for Allah or for Muhammad? They say, "A'udhu billah, for Allah." But then when they go to Medina, who they call upon? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger. Oh, Messenger of Allah, give me this. Oh, no. طيب. And lastly, we mentioned last week a lines of poetry by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala in his Nuniyah that illustrate in general and in brief that Allah has rights and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has rights over us. And we should not confuse the two. We should not ascribe to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some of the rights that are only reserved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has rights upon us. His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has rights upon us. So we should not confuse the two. We should know what are Allah's rights upon us and fulfill them for Allah. And we should know what is the right that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has upon us, and we fulfill those rights. And we should not take from the rights of Allah and ascribe them and attribute them to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah. طيب الحمد لله بارك الله فيكم. We continue inshallah ta'ala today by continuing saying the third point in this chapter, بَيَانُ مَنْزِلَتِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ بَيَانُ مَنْزِلَتِهِ, the status and the rank of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now the Shaykh Fawzan, he will show to us and make clear to us the status and the rank of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. قَالَ لَا بَأْسَ بِبَيَانِ مَنْزِلَتِهِ بِمَدْحِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِمَا مَدَحَهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ وذكر منزلته التي فضله الله بها واعتقاد ذلك, فله صلى الله عليه وسلم المنزلة العالية التي أنزله الله فيها, فهو عبد الله ورسوله وخيرته من خلقه وأفضل الخلق على الإطلاق. The Shaykh said, حفظه الله, there is no harm in pointing out his status by praising him for things Allah praised him, for the things that Allah has praised him with, and believe in that too with which he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, distinguished him with, and to believe in that too. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoys an exalted rank in which Allah has placed him. He is the slave of Allah and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his choice, this is the choice of Allah from his creation, and absolutely the best of all creatures, and absolutely the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of all creatures. He is the messenger of Allah to mankind at large, jinn and men, and the best of all messengers, and the last of all prophets, after whom no prophet shall be sent. After him, no prophet shall be sent. وَقَدْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ صَدْرَهُ وَشَرَحَ اللَّهُ لَهُ صَدْرَهُ. رَفَعَ لَهُ ذِكْرَهُ وَجَعَلَ الذِّلَّةَ وَالصَّغَارَ عَلَى. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delayed his bosom, exalted his mention, and placed lowliness and humiliation on those who defy his command, means they go against his command, and he is the one who will enjoy al-maqam al-mahmud. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the one who will enjoy the maqam al-mahmud, in translation, the praise and the good status, of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Isra, ayah 79, it may be that your Rabb, your Lord, will raise you to an exalted rank, maqam mahmud. Shaykh al-Fawzan yashrahu hadha al-kalam, this ayah, in explanation of this ayah, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, أي المقام الذي يقيمه الله فيه للشفاعة للناس يوم القيامة ليريحهم ربهم من شدة الموقف, وهو موقف خاص به صلى الله عليه وسلم دون غيره من النبيين. Shaykh al-Fawzan explained this ayah 79 in Surah al-Isra. He said, it means the rank Allah will bestow on him, on the Prophet ﷺ, by means of which he will intercede, by means of which he will intercede on behalf of mankind on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve them, the creation, from the painfulness and the torment of that day of Yawm al-Qiyamah. And it is a special rank which will be restricted to him alone out of all the prophets. This is something that is restricted only to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh didn't mention the long hadith of al-Shafa'ah. There is a long narration that deals with intercession and how the people, they suffer on that day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, waiting, just waiting for Allah to judge between the people. People gather, all the creation, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, and then waiting for Allah to come and judge between them. No Jannah yet, nothing. Just waiting for Allah to come and judge between them. And in that long hadith, he mentioned that the people turned to Adam to go and intercede for them, to talk to Allah. People, they can't wait no longer. They couldn't wait no longer for how severe and hard indeed and painful was that day, and waiting. And then Adam declined it. They went to Nuh. Nuh sent them to another, to Ibrahim, another prophet, to Musa, to Isa. Then finally came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was granted permission. And this is the Maqam al-Mahmud, as the ulama they mentioned, as one of them, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, as I just mentioned and read to you. وَهُوَ أَخْشَى الْخَلْقُ لِلَّهِ. Shaykh Fawzan still mentioning the praises of the Prophet ﷺ, and his makana, his rank and his position. وَهُوَ أَخْشَى الْخَلْقُ لِلَّهِ وَأَتْقَاهُمْ لَهُ وَقَدْ نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْ رَفْعِ الصَّوْتِ لِحَضْرَتِهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَأَثْنَى عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَهُ. He mentioned also, he said, he feared Allah most, the Prophet ﷺ, he feared Allah most, and he is the most pious of mankind. He is the most pious of mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited believers to raise their voices in his presence. Allah has forbidden or prohibited the believers to raise their voices in his presence and praise those who lower their voices in his presence. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Hujurat, the dwellings, the ayat 2-5, Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتَهُمْ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُولَئِكَ الَّذِينَ امْتَحَنَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِلتَّقْوَى لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حتى تخرج إليهم لكان خيرا لهم والله غفور رحيم. Allah said, and I read to you the translation in English, the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the chapter 49, the ayat 2, 3, 4, and 5. O you who believe, raise not your voices above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and speak not aloud to him as you speak aloud to one another, lest your good deeds become void without being aware of it. Verily, those who lower their voices in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the ones whose hearts Allah has purified for righteousness. For them is forgiveness and a great reward. Those who call you outside your apartment, most of them do not understand. And had they waited patiently until you come out to them, it would have been better for them. But Allah is most forgiving, merciful. The people of knowledge, the ulama, they mentioned that also that raising the voice also should be even after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hukm that stands. So when a person goes to visit his grave, people, they should lower their voice around the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, when the sunnah is mentioned and the ahadith are narrated, a person has to respect, show some respect. They mentioned that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, that sometimes he be laying down, he be leaning, laying down, somebody come to him and say, Ya Ahmad ibn Hanbal, O Ahmad ibn Hanbal, what do you say about the hadith, such and such? As soon as the person start reciting the hadith, Imam Ahmad sit up. And he sits in a manner out of respect to the hadith. And many of us, not just the hadith, the Quran is recited, we don't even know what's going on. Many of us, the hadith is narrated, the Quran is recited, I don't know, maybe we're talking on the phone, why are we listening to the Quran? Allahu Musta'an. But alhamdulillah, this is the purpose of these classes, so we can elevate ourselves and correct our mistakes, inshaAllah ta'ala, and come out with some benefit. قال الإمام ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى: هذه آيات أدب الله، أدب الله فيها عباده المؤمنين فيما يعاملون به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من التوقير والاحترام والتبجيل والإعظام، منها أن لا يرفع أصواتهم بين يدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوق صوته. ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى، إمام ابن كثير may Allah grant him his mercy, said: with the above ayat, Allah teaches his believing slaves to treat the Prophet ﷺ with reverence, dignity and adulation, not to speak loud in front of the Prophet ﷺ, nor raise their voices above his. ونهى سبحانه وتعالى، وقد انتهى كلام الإمام ابن كثير. That was the end of the statement of Imam ibn Kathir. شيخ الفوزان يواصل: ونهى سبحانه وتعالى أن يدعى الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم باسمه كما يدعى سائر الناس فيقال يا محمد، وإنما يدعى بالرسالة والنبوة فيقال يا رسول الله، يا نبي الله، كما قال تعالى في سورة النور: لا تجعلوا دعاء الرسول بينكم كدعاء بعضكم بعضا. Allah also prohibits calling the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name as other people are called, as other people are called by their name. When he say, oh, Abdul Rahman, Ya Ali, Ya Khalid, Ya Sa'id, Ya Muhammad, Ya Kada, Allah has prohibited calling the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his name as other people are called by their name. That is, for you to call him O Muhammad, rather he should be called by the title of the message, O Messenger, or by the title of Prophethood, O Prophet. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, Ayah 63, make not the calling of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst you as you are calling one another, as you are calling one another. And the Shaykh al-Fawzan continue by saying: كما أن الله سبحانه يناديه بيا أيها النبي، يا أيها الرسول، وقد صلى الله وملائكته عليه وأمر عباده بالصلاة والتسليم عليه، فقال تعالى كما في سورة الأحزاب: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Likewise he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah himself calls him O Prophet. Allah himself calls the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam O Prophet or O Messenger, and he exalted his mention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exalted his mention and commands his angels and slaves to supplicate for exalting his mention. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah and his angels praise the Prophet. All you who believe, praise Allah. All who you believe, praise Him and exalt His mention. Praise Him and exalt His mention.
This audio file has been downloaded from SalafiTapes.com.
And now Sheikh Al-Fawzan, he said, لكن مع هذا يمدح الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقدر ويمدح، لكن لا يخصص لمدحه صلى الله عليه وسلم وقت ولا كيفية معينة إلا بدليل صحيح من الكتاب والسنة. فما يفعله أصحاب الموالد من تخصيص اليوم الذي يزعمون أنه يوم مولده لمدحه بدعة منكرة. However, it's a very important point here, the Sheikh Fawzan mentioned, he said, however, no particular time should be designated in order to praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor a particular manner, unless such manner or time is substantiated by the book and the sunnah. People should not just take upon themselves to start praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any time or using some expression unless there is a wadih dalil, a clear proof, authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a text from the Quran or from the Sunnah that substantiate that action, designating a particular day as those who celebrate the birthday of the Prophet choose a particular day to praise the Prophet as an example. Those who they celebrate the birthday of the Prophet allege it to be the day he was born, for adulating him and revering him. Their function is an outrageous and gross, despicable, wicked, horrendous innovation. Okay? قال ومن تعظيمه صلى الله عليه وسلم تعظيم سنته واعتقاد وجوب العمل بها وأنها في المنزلة الثانية بعد القرآن الكريم في وجوب التعظيم والعمل لأنها وحي من الله تعالى كما قال تعالى في سورة النجم وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. Likewise, from other ways or from revering the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and respecting him is to revere his sunnah as well, is to revere his sunnah and believe in the incumbency of applying it, and believe in the incumbency of applying the sunnah, and that the sunnah comes in status next to the Quran in terms of reverence and application. Why is that? Sheikh Fawzan said, because the sunnah is revelation too. Because the sunnah is revelation too, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Najm, chapter 53, the ayat 3 and 4, nor does he speak of his own desire, nor does he speak of his own desire, it is only revealed revelation. It is only a revelation that is revealed. فلا يجوز التشكيك فيها والتقليل من شأنها, يعني السنة, الضمير يعود على السنة. فلا يجوز التشكيك فيها والتقليل من شأنها أو الكلام فيها بتصحيح أو تضعيف لطرقها وأسانيدها أو شرح لمعانيها إلا بعلم وتحفظ. The Shaykh said, it is not therefore permissible to hold it in doubt, to have any doubts pertaining to the Sunnah, or belittle its importance, or criticize and scrutinize its chain of narrators by declaring some to be weak and some to be authentic, or elaborate, nor it is permissible to elaborate on its text, the text of the Sunnah, without knowledge and reservation, even though you may have knowledge, but you have know that you have certainty and sure that this is the real meaning and this narration is this and that. وَقَدْ كَثُرَ. Now the Shaykh, he wants to warn us against some actions and unfortunately that are happening. قَالَ وَقَدْ كَثُرَ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ تَطَاوُلُ الْجُهَالِ على سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم خصوصا من بعد الشباب الناشئين الذين لا يزالون في المراحل الأولى من التعليم. He said, nowadays and these days and hours, there are many ignorant people who presumptuously, nowadays there are many ignorant people who presumptuously criticize the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly among some young people, and this is a statement of Sheikh Fawzan, by the way. Tayyib, I'm just translating. He said, particularly among some young people who are in their early stages of education. صاروا يصححون ويضعفون في الأحاديث ويرجحون ويجرحون ويجرحون في الرواة بغير علم سوى قراءة الكتب. وهذا خطر عظيم. قال وهذا خطر عظيم عليهم وعلى الأمة. فيجب عليهم أن يتقوا الله ويقفوا عند حدهم. The Shaykh therefore said, these are people who they are still in their early stages of education among those ignorant, They assume presumptuously the position of scrutinizing the hadith, the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ, by declaring some to be weak and some to be authentic, and they criticize the narrators without proper knowledge other than reading books. Without proper knowledge other than reading books. A situation which poses great danger on those young people. See? He said this situation poses a great danger on those young people.